And we're back. Sharing the burden. We're live. Really alive. Peter, you're sitting there with that smile on your face that can only mean you've thought of something funny that someone said and you turned it into something. What was it?
No. I'm very serious, Scott. I just...
Get closer to the mic there, Pete.
Anybody listening, Scott didn't know I was going to be here today, but I met Georgina over the last year, and I just wanted to show up and support her because we've become good friends, and it's great that she's here. And I've been on this show a couple of times. As far as making amends, I think I'm in a better position than I was last time. I've tried to make amends with everyone. I would like to be closer to some of the people, but I'm not. But that's the way it goes. I'm happy. And
what about happy, joyous, and free? Is that kind of...
I'm not free.
How much? Don't look at me when you say that.
But I'm reasonable. Anyway, no, so, I'm just, again, I'm just very proud of Georgina for what she's been through, and it's just great to see her here.
Okay. It is, and we all echo
thank
that.
Thank you for the influence you've had on my life in the last year.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for the courage. Peter, I know you can always come up with the right thing at the right time. You can go now.
Okay. Thanks.
Back in the corner you go.
Away from the microphone.
Rebuilding relationships. That's what we're talking about on this part of the show. Does anybody have anybody in particular, maybe we've talked about them in the past, maybe not, but anybody in particular who needs to receive an amend? Legit from your perspective, not so much from theirs. It's bona fide. It's something you believe you did at some point in life that was wrong, and it needs to be amended. It may not mean visiting. It may mean visiting. But is there anybody, on your list, if you made one, or in your head, if not?
Let's look at your list, Scott.
Have you ever heard of dead time? That's what it is. Well, I tell you, first on my list is Pauline.
Oh, here we go.
No. But Peter, I know we talked about amends, and you sort of sounded up to date, but and I'm not supposed to ask on the other side of the fence, but I'm waiting.
Oh, great. Yes. Everything's great.
No, I'm waiting for my amend.
Oh, you're waiting? Oh, for you? Oh, I thought you were going to talk to me first. Because, I'm still pretty upset about some of the treatment I received from you.
I wish that I had read this before I came in today. Based on what we talked about last week about amends and me making amends and things like that. And Georgina, we sort of talked a bit about it on the way down today. It kind of makes me revisit it a little bit, reading this, this devotional today, this day three. There are people that I'm estranged from because of a dispute in the distant past or not too distant past, which I really feel revisiting and going back to would not be good for me. Mm-hmm. And yet... clearly there's a need to maybe make an amend. I don't know that I'm up to it. I don't know that I could actually do it. Maybe there's a way to do it and then move on and just not have to go back I'm trying to think of the right way to say it, create the relationship again, but just to make the amend and apologize for my part in whatever took place. Maybe that's something that I need to really seriously look at doing. Mm-hmm. We talk about this last month and now again this month, and maybe it's something that I actually have to act on myself.
It's interesting. If it keeps coming back, that's for surely right. Mm-hmm. But I think the other thing is where it's doubtful or it's incomplete, the feeling of whether I should physically do that.
Right.
Or do it some other way. And maybe some other way is a good place to start. You know what I mean? It may be the letter sort of thing. These are the words I'd like to say. Whether I can say them or not, I don't know.
Right.
And, you know, because you don't want to be worried at this point about how it's going to be received. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's not the issue. Now, if it's just going to hurt somebody, even on the other side, well, obviously, there's no sense making an amend if it's going to make something worse or if it's going to hurt somebody. On the other hand, sometimes things hurt. But I think in your case, you're talking more about you're the one that would be hurt, depending on how something was received. So, I would say with something like that, yeah, I know that you've done many times over and over your part in amending those situations. I don't think I would think about doing it physically. I would think more of, but making it a final effort regardless of how you do it. And I think that would be, like a written kind of thing. You might have to write a book, you know, because you've told me a lot about that situation and that doesn't matter. But I mean, just starting the process and this is the final, effort to free me from this whole scenario, you know, and
so
that's,
not to revisit it, keep dragging it up and
first and for all, regardless, you know, do it in concert with whatever your sense of God or your higher power, whatever your belief is. I mean, I know what it is, but I also have to put it out there that folks, it doesn't matter what your beliefs, you're always welcome at sharing the burden, and you know, whether you like it or not, we'll pray for you. That's a funny thing. If you ever go to some of the places I go to, and you know, and meet every kind of person imaginable, no one has ever said don't do that, you know. And that's interesting. Like, nobody ever, you know, from it's an interesting concept. And I was trying to tell a fella who believes in nothing that. I said, well, I don't know anything, but I know when this happens, things happen, so I do it. You know what I mean? It's like, if something works, why change it? You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Looking at this, at today's rebuilding relationships, anyone else there have a relationship or a group of relationships or something that needs attention of some sort, whether it's a personal visit? As you said, Georgina, you feel pretty much up to date. When you look at that little caption of who did I write off, does that apply to anybody in your life?
I've written off many people. I attract a lot of different people, and I take everybody to be like me, like open and honest. And then when they're not and I see their true colors, I cut them out. I don't have time for deception. Mm-hmm. I'm very open. I like to be honest. I like to know when I'm sharing ideas with somebody that they're like-minded. So if they're not, and if I feel that they're not good for me, then they're gone. Mm. I'm very adamant about that. I think in the past where I would let people stomp all over me, for lack of a better term. I'm at an age now, I'm 52. I don't want that in my life. I want like-minded people, people that are good to each other, that are good to the world. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't keep what I feel is a relationship that is poisonous. I don't keep that open.
Yeah, good for you. Mm-hmm. I guess we could say you have good boundaries at this point, so that you could, you know what to stave off and what not to start. You know,
I'm always polite, but I will walk away from a relationship if I need to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good for you. That's a strong point. And you know, boundaries are something most people don't want to visit because they recognize a painful experience right away.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And in that case, you don't have to do this revisiting thing. It's like doing you know, next month's step in our program where we're current. You know, we make the amend as it comes along. And if it's a boundary issue, which is a nice thought, if it's a boundary issue and you already know how certain things are to go and you predetermine, you know, what in a person will allow them into your circle and what won't, that makes the future a lot brighter and a lot easier. I like that theme. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Well, I try.
You know what? Though, putting those ideas out there like that, that gives a lot of people a lot more chance. So thank you for that.
You don't waste time on being unhappy. You just
well, that's the thing. I think I think in the past I would beat myself up, like, what did I do to this person? Why don't they like me the way I am? What do I need to change about myself? And then I realized I don't need to change anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for you to like me, either you like me or you don't like me, and that's okay. I'm mm-hmm. not for everybody, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard anybody say, well, Georgina's, I sort of like her. It's either I like her or I don't. Like, I'm pretty black and white,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And I think because you, well, in my... Sorry, thanks. In my opinion, I just of what I have seen and know from you is you hold yourself very well, and you're very confident, and you're very happy, and you don't let other people mess with your head.
No.
So in any contact that I had with you, you were always the same. You were constant. You were happy. You came to meetings happy. You were always...
Yeah.
And you weren't absorbed by any drama going around.
No, I'm too old for drama.
Mm-hmm.
I really am. Mm-hmm. And I think I instinctively surround myself with people that are building me up, and mm-hmm. I would like to build up people too. I like to be a good friend. I like to be there when you need me. And I, on the flip side, I like them to be there when I need them, right? So, but yeah, I think happy is just, you just have to tell yourself that you're happy. Like, sometimes it's the most dire circumstance where you are, but you just have to say, this is, God's put me here, I'm here for a reason, mm-hmm. He loves me, if nobody else here loves me, He loves me, I love me, and just go with it. Just be confident that God is with you at all times, in your darkest hours, in your finest hours. He brings certain people into your life. I don't know what the lessons are sometimes at the time, but upon reflection, at times you can say, oh, okay, I understand why he put that person in my path. And I'm a beacon of hope for others. Like, mm-hmm. I really like people. Mm-hmm. Like, I like people. I like being liked. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I do like being liked, but if I'm not liked, I'm okay with that too. Mm-hmm. You know?
Powerful, powerful. When we think of this revisitation again, Peter, I'll ask you, when we think of people we might have written off, or maybe we've just let things linger in our mind year after year after year about the way they, you know, receive you, talk to you, whatever, but we've let them go on and on and on. Now, a lot of that might be us, but a lot of it might be them. But to finalize it somehow, you know, to come to a point where, like we said to Pauline, Lord, we're going to visit this thing once and for all, and whatever we determine, maybe as with people you trust, you know, in concert with your prayer, if you're that kind of person, like Georgina was saying, whatever way you're going to do it, is there anything, anybody you should give, you know, one final chance to in that sense? You know, revisit something that you've written off, or as I said, something that's just been lingering, something that needs to be final.
Well, you know what, Scott? I'm pretty good right now. Like, I've had a very interesting year, and I just want to thank you, Scott, and your program, Sharing the Burden. You've really helped me a lot. I want to thank my wife, Pauline, and again, I just want to say hi to Georgina, who I've met in last year. I've had a pretty rough year. I had surgery, and I was pretty ill, but a lot of people prayed for me, and I've come to realize that God's in control of everything, and I'm good. I'm happy.
Okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. No, Peter's always happy, and I've got to give him that. One of the things, though, I think we owe it to, you know, to our Creator, to the world, to our loved ones, just to everybody. I mean, there's an interconnection between people, no matter how we look at it, I think. And, Patty, wouldn't you agree with that? You know, when we talk about all being part of the same game, you know, whether we're talking spiritual, religion, or just in general, I think there's an interconnection between all of us, and everything any one of us do affects everything else and everyone else. So don't we owe it to everything we believe in to be as pure as we possibly can? And doesn't that mean finalizing a whole bunch of that stuff so that we're not impeded in our work and our support and our whatever we do?
I think one of the things about being human and, you know, as I, you know, am around sharing the burden and so on, the interconnectedness, connectiveness is very key, because if you don't have that, you're lost. Mm-hmm. You're on your own. And it's always a talk about the support. You know, Georgina, you say the support that I get, but I also give. Yeah. And I think it's a community, and whatever community you involve yourself in, but it has to be a two-way street. And that is where the interconnectedness is so key. You know, I do believe in you give what you get, but you also get what you have given. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as you are involved in a community and people learn from this, you know, like you say as well with Georgina, she has helped you over this last period of time, but you're recognizing that the things that she has done, and this keeps carrying you on forward. And that, again, it you know, it's sort of like the shampoo commercial. I'll tell two friends, they'll tell two friends, and then, you know, you do the math, and I can't do it without a calculator. But the reality is, you see that you expand what your capabilities are. And it is those who ultimately who are willing to be connected may be saved and helped. And I know there are people that aren't as much as you try or they may try. But I, as you say, sometimes, you know, there's a connection that is lost from your perspective or your perspective, but you're hoping maybe that they get connected with somebody else. And it may not be you. It might be somebody else. And you hope that for them, but if it's not helping you in support of each other, then that connectiveness is not equal. And you have to let it go for your own self, and then utilize yourself for somebody else to be better. Hopefully they find somebody else, as you say, that is a better fit and that they can carry on, hopefully, in a good path. And I think the whole about a program is, if you have no connection, then there is no program or moving forward. And I think it's one of the very key components of moving forward and of healing, I think.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Thanks very much, Patty. Great answer. One of the things that came out of, or came into my head as Patty was speaking, is that our mode of life, our lifestyle, if you want, the recovery lifestyle, if you will, is always trying to become better, become the best we can, and operate, you know, at that as much as we can, is really a lifestyle. It's a I think the way of life, you know, and we're not talking cultish things at all. We've got a, you know, bunch of steps that we take regular, but if you look what those steps are, it's just a smart way to live, you know. Yeah. And regardless of your spirituality, I mean, you know, I'm one who thinks you don't get anywhere without something, but there are others who don't, and just by improving the practicality and the way they handle themselves in life, improves everything around them. So, I mean, you know, a program for life that's solid, that's helpful, that's service-based, that's functional, productive, and so on, is just a good thing. And that's what we try and do. And we try and, that's what we call the recovery lifestyle. And
I just want to cut in on that for a second. Yeah. Last night when I was visiting with the men in jail, mm-hmm. One of the gentlemen in the group said, you know, that basically what you just said, but he said it for everybody. He said, you know, I've tried everything else, and he said, I'm doing it again now, but this time I'm doing it with God. Like everything, like I've done it all. Like he's tried it all on his own, and now he's doing it again. And so he spends his time with his cellmate. Mm-hmm. They spend a lot of time reading. They read the Bible together. They're making an effort to change their lives, but this time they're not doing it on their own. They're using the 12 steps, but they're realizing that if they're going to make a change, they just can't do it on their own. They've tried it too many times, and so now the time has come for them to put God in the relationship and in their equation. And I think that was so encouraging last night. Like to hear that, it was like, wow, they're willing to do the steps. They're willing to work at the steps, but they realize that there is a power greater than themselves.
Yeah, super.
So that was so encouraging. It was like, yes. Yeah. And it wasn't me saying it to the inmates. It was another inmate saying it to all his other inmates.
Yeah,
so, which is more powerful than me saying something, in my opinion, you know. So it was huge for me. But
it's interesting, folks. Pauline is one of our jail services facilitators in the jails, if you will. And she's 5 feet nothing, and you know, but 110 pounds maybe. And she goes in there, and I mean, these big guys in orange. I mean, we're talking a different scene here. She goes in a little tiny room. She's locked in there. The guards leave. And she's in there with all these big guys in orange, and they're talking like that. I mean, hey, you've got to give this lady credit. And she's the only one I know other than myself, and I'm a guy and she's a girl, but she's the only girl I know who will go into those places by herself and not even think about it. And, you know, it never happened before. So it's wonderful. And, you know, I know you must have, you know, a higher power's help just to be able to go in there.
Doesn't even faze me.
No, I know.
Not even a little bit.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
you're on
you
a
know,
good
I,
track.
I'd like to, publicly thank Pauline for helping me, make amends with certain people and, taught me that it's okay to answer the phone when certain people come, or certain people call. For a while, you know, I was kind of selective. But sharing the burden has been great, and the one thing we talk about is what other people think of me is none of my business. And that's kind of where I am at now. Yeah. And I'm just at a good place in my life, and I want to thank everybody here in this room. And thank you, Georgina.
Thank
you. It's great getting to know you. Thank you, Pauline. Thank you, Scott.
You're welcome.
Been hanging out with Scott a lot. Sharing the burden and
life-changing.
Yeah, it's great.
I'll tell you something, and Peter is, if I let him go on, he's going to cry.
No.
And, you know, in real wonderful tears, but I just don't want him to embarrass him himself.
One of the things,
and he won't.
One of the things, too, that goes over and over in my mind is, you know, showing grace. And so when we're talking about amends, in some way this is showing grace, and I have to relate it to my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And if God can forgive me and show me grace, then I should not be judging anybody else. I should be showing the same grace.
Yeah.
And if I'm going in representing sharing the burden to the jails and places like that, then I should put my money where my mouth is. And
and you do.
And
you
try to, but really it is about showing grace. And anyways, that's sort of...
You know, that's powerful. We're going to take a break, but just think about this for a second. Is we go into these rooms and these people love us as much as we love them. And I'll tell you, that's it. That's the whole deal in a nutshell. And that allows for the kind of sharing that Georgina talked about, that Pauline talks about, that Peter talks about, that we all talk about. We don't get that in very many places in this life. And we have to, you know, us volunteers have to go to jails to feel a type of love we don't feel in the outside world. It's incredible. And with that, we're going to take a break.